Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Blessed Mother, we pray to thee. Thanks for the miracle of your rosary. Only you can hold back your holy son's hand long enough for the whole world to understand. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Oh, Holy Mary, dear Mother of God, please pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death, and thanks once again for the miracle of your rosary.
Welcome, four persons. Mike, you there? Mike, start that again. We didn't catch that.
I have a piece, Don, I have a piece of news that will put all of this in perspective. CNN is reporting moments ago that the Supreme Court protected access to a widely used abortion drug by freezing lower court rulings that place restrictions on its usage, which essentially means the baby killing goes on. And where it stops, nobody knows. Have you heard that? Have you heard that on your channels? The four persons. Okay, and then you obviously want their theme song. Sure hope they have a good sense of humor. But in any event, what have they said this time?
Well, you know, every member of Deeper Truth is pro-life.
Absolutely. And the battle goes on.
You have the article in front of you.
Do I? No, I don't. Let me see if I can pull it. Yeah, I've got it up here now. I just have to put it where it belongs. Do you want me to go ahead and read what you got here?
Yeah.
Okay. My response to Benko's lies, I will continue to pray for John Benko. Well, may God have mercy on his soul. Terry Delp gave us this conversion story on another Blog Talk radio show, Deeper Truth Radio, that Don co-founded with the Catholic Defender. The edit is choppy, and I apologize for that. Myself, Terry, and two other important members of that apostolate left before had completely fallen into heresy and schism and irrationality. Only one legitimate Catholic remains, and I am certain he will eventually join us. My separation from this group was angry and bitter, and I said some very colorful and uncharitable things that I have had to repent of. Welcome to the human condition. Nevertheless, we had to leave because this group has gone off the deep end of sanity and heresy. John Benko fell away from Deeper Truth because of family issues and problems. Nobody stood by John Benko. Now, John Benko's side more than I did. That's Don. Deeper Truth continues to be dedicated to Christ. Benko's criticism does not stand up to scrutiny. Benko forgets that when he left, he gave it all up, leaving it all to me. I tried to for 11 years to get him to come back. Now I regret that he ever did come back. What was once a brother has become an enemy. Our Lord wants us to pray for our enemies, and all of Deeper Truth are solid Catholics. One example he left was in the testimony of one Judy Alciator. Judy was, by any measure, a devout and wonderful person. She died a few months after this show. With full reverence to the required and appropriate respect for the deceased, for this show to openly claim that God personally dedicated poetry to this lady is exactly the kind of loopy claim that has made this apostolate crash and burn in the ratings, made our entire church look like a laughingstock, and provided validation to the caricature by anti-Catholics that we believe in everyone who claims a vision. Not necessarily. Whoever said that obviously has never read Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. John Benko himself referred to Judy Alciator as a holy person when she died. Pope John Paul II says Medjugorje is a continuation and extended hand of Fatima. Our Lady appears in communist countries primarily because of problems originating in Russia. He began to read several passages and point out that Medjugorje's messages are close to those of Fatima. Cardinal Pujic, a member of the International Investigative Commission since it was formed in 2010, says the verdict from Pope Francis on the case of Medjugorje can be expected later this year. The Medjugorje Commission was initiated by Pope Benedict XVI almost 4 years ago on March 17, 2010. He entrusted the work to Cardinal Camillo Ruini in the foreground. The commission has submitted the result of our work to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Pujic said, we worked on this for 4 years as an internal international commission. The congregation will consider our findings and make a proposal to the Pope, and then the Pope will decide how to handle it. This year, we can expect a final word from the Holy Father. The Cardinal said pilgrims are still free to visit Medjugorje, upholding what has been the status quo since the bishops of then Yugoslavia decided to allow visits in April of 1991. The commission is not opposed to Medjugorje as a place of faith where faithful pilgrims gather, Cardinal Pujic said. The Medjugorje Inquiry Commission was set up on March 2010 under the direction of an Italian cardinal, Camillo Ruini, who for many years was the vicar of Pope John Paul II for the city of Rome. Father Federico Lombardi, in mid-January, confirmed that the commission has held its last meeting and the results of the inquiry would now be examined by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith under Prefect Archbishop Gerhard Müller. This material includes interviews with this. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and play a song before we get to this.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah. You want to go to what? You going to a song? Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
The material includes interviews with the six seers and other witnesses, expert reports, and theological reflections on the messages. The report will now be studied alongside other documentation that the congregation has gathered over the course of the years. According to a Vatican insider, the commission focused on the first phase of appropriations to determine if there was any evidence of any tricks, hoaxes, or abuse of popular credulity. No such evidence was found. However, it is proving difficult for the church to form a definitive verdict on the supernatural nature of a phenomenon that is still ongoing. Cardinal Jinko Puljic of Sarajevo, Bosnia. Oh, I can't talk to him now. Cardinal Vinko Puljic of Sarajevo, Bosnia-Herzegovina, of the six seers who reported apparitions in June 1981 when they were still children or in their teens, three claim that they still see daily apparitions of the Queen of Peace at the same time every afternoon, whether wherever they happen to be. These seekers of Vika, who lives in Medjugorje, Marija, who lives in Monza, Italy, and Ivan, who lives in the U.S., who returns to his homeland often. A fourth seer, Mirana, sees an apparition on the second day of each month. This week, Terry and I are both having to work excessive overtime at our full-time jobs, which makes a live Sunday show impossible. Still, hearing the story will inspire you and show you why we are so excited by the mission of taking it to the street. I'm taking the snake attack by Benko, and I will respond that I will continue to remember him in the rosary. Here are the most recent Deeper Truth podcasts that Benko and those he represents, by the way, Dr. Gregory Thompson will not join Benko. Rome's exorcist finding John Paul II effective against Satan. The chief exorcist of Rome is seeing a rising number of young people coming under the influence of evil, but he has found recently, in recent years, that Blessed John Paul II is a powerful intercessor in the battle for souls. A small, unassuming office in Southwest Rome seems a rather ordinary setting in which to play out a grand battle between good and evil. It is here, though, that Father Gabriel Armolf has carried out most of his 70,000 exorcisms over the past 26 years. The world must know that Satan exists, he told CNA recently. The devil and demons are many, and they have two powers, the ordinary and the extraordinary. The 86-year-old priest, Italian priest of the Society of St. Paul, an official exorcist for the Diocese of Rome, explained the difference. Okay. That appears to be the end of it.
You know what he said? He said that. I'm talking about the exorcist.
Okay, you're breaking up, my friend. St. John Paul II? Let me get back to that.
Yeah. So, Pope St. John Paul II, can you hear me?
You're choppy.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Oh, think of all the saints of the days that we've been doing, Mike, and how many of them were Pope St. John Paul II.
Oh, you're chopping up real bad. I heard you say saint of the day, and then it was just choppy. Yeah, let's do that.
And then you got Judy's speech. Okay.
I have a poem from her.
Good. Okay. So here's the song.
The last poem.
One peaceful afternoon, I picked up from my mailbox the strangest looking letter I've ever seen. A chilling little envelope bordered with flying bats and eerie serpents whose eyes were tinted green. The The letter was addressed to me, so as I opened it, I froze. What I read turned my complexion 3 shades of blue. It said, "My name is Isaac Horowitz. I'm a male witch, a warlock, and I feel I need to spend some time with you." Now, as a Christian from a little church with God's call on my life, a man of faith and power with a challenge to grow, I did what any saint would do in my situation. I tore it up, said, "Lord, no way I'm gonna go." And gently and methodically, the Holy Spirit spoke and reminded me, we're God's voice to our nation. It's the church's responsibility to witness. So reluctantly, I accepted this witch's invitation. He had the house you'd expect, the old English cottage, a Nightmare on Elm Street special right to the core, the overgrown ivy, the gate that creaked when opened. Somehow you'd expect Freddy to answer this door. The doorbell rang, a hollow gong, the knob twisted, then opened, and Isaac stood before me with a grin. His jet black hair and well-trimmed beard flowed with his black silk clothes. My skin crawled as he said, "Please, come on in." His house was filled with every occultic symbol you could fathom. Hanging pentagrams, horoscope signs, a Ouija board, and Dungeons and Dragons games set on the table. A crystal ball with an incandescent shine. And graciously, he handed me some steaming herbal tea. Its presence caused my memory to jog. I thought of every horror flick I'd seen when I was a kid, and thought, man, you drink this stuff, next day you'd be a frog. And he led me to a high back chair as he meticulously began to unfold his scenario with evil patience. I was given a giant leather-bound book jammed with newspaper clippings, thus the reason for this witch's invitation. With eagerness, he pointed to each article with pride. He said, "I healed this woman through a Babylonian chant. You see, this man, I cured him while performing druid worship. I was paid to curse this man with AIDS by his aunt." On and on, page after page, delightfully he flaunted each incident for an hour without a breath. He said, "Do you realize through my understanding of the dark regions that I can make you rich or even curse someone to death?" I sat literally intimidated by his immensity and demon power, while his face shone with a satanic arrogant bliss. Then placing his hands on the arms of my chair and leaning into my face, he said, "What can your God do to compete with this?" I knew then how Moses felt when his rod turned to a serpent, and the 3 Egyptian magicians did the same. It's as if you're sitting there in that stunned moment where your faith gets violated and all you feel is weak, powerless, and lame. I desperately and deeply prayed, saying, "Jesus, give me wisdom. I don't want to put you through some foolish test." Then a shaft of light shot through my soul, igniting my eyes with fire. God stood me up and I threw the book back in his chest. Said, "Isaac, I'll not compare God's miracles versus Satan's. The issue's not God's kingdom and Satan's lair. The real comparison is the condition of your soul and the condition of mine. And you puppet of the devil, that I will compare." I said, "My friend, one day they're coming for you. The soft associates in your incantations. The friendly demons you think you now control. The time will come when you'll be lying in bed, wheezing like a dying animal, when those spirits lay claim to the rights they own to your soul.
then the room will grow dark, and the most hideous evil faces you've ever seen will come flaming out of the floor with a yell. The vile informants that promised reincarnation will claw your spirit and victoriously drag your soul to hell. Then I grab the book and says, in that moment, which mantra, which incantation are you going to chant to tell them to leave you alone? I said, my friend, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what I would say. I am bought with the blood of Jesus. Let me go. I said, Isaac, when you tossed that book in my lap, you gloated with a sinister victory. You rejoiced when you saw your name in black and white. Now I rejoice, but not that your council of demons are subject to Jesus, but that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then Isaac jumped up from his chair and screamed, you must leave now! I said, I will, but one last obligation. Next time, think twice before you rumble with a man of God. By the way, thanks for your witch's invitation.
I believe that's Carmen, wasn't it?
Yes.
Now, I've heard that song, oh, several years ago. And I guess next year you want to hear the this I think is the last poem Judy had before
yes.
before she died.
Yes.
It's called The Birds, and she delivered it on September the 22nd of 2020.
Well, this is a brand new poem that God gave me this morning. And I think I'm going to entitle it, The Birds of Heaven. Sometimes I wish the birds would sing and take their song upon the wing to share with those who have no song, who live in sorrow all day long. Sometimes I wish the birds would fly and sing to God in heaven high. Please, dear Lord, send down your love and shine on them from heaven above. If the lark and if the sparrow flew to God through the straight and narrow, we would see the sunshine bright as the breeze held them up in flight. For God has made the birds to sing through joys, through woes, through everything. And those who live with joyless hearts could fly to God and be a part of every flock that fills the sky to sing with love for God on high. And God would make their souls to lift, for heaven indeed is the most blessed gift. Thank you, Lord. And I wrote after that, oh my goodness, this is so different, so fanciful and filled with images that only the heart can see.
That was Judy in a poem called The Birds, The Birds of Heaven. And she told us herself where she got it.
That's beautiful. Mike, I want to thank you for coming in again at such short notice.
Well, I'm always available. You know that. We need to be in prayer for America. I know you say that at the end of every one of the novenas. And by the way, tomorrow is the seventh day of the novena we've been following. And you don't want to miss that. coming up tomorrow.
Oh.
And after that, there are two more, and it just gets one builds upon the other, and it just gets gooder and gooder.
And we're also coming up with St. Catherine Novena.
St. Catherine of Siena.
Which will go to the 29th of April.
Mm-hmm.
We got a whole lot of more.
Well, I sure hope your voice gets better.
Me too.
But we'll continue to be in prayer for you.
Thank
and of
you.
Course, the great physician makes house calls.
Yes, and that's good. That's all good news.
And you know what else I've heard about the great physician? He's never lost a patient.
That's great. That's great.
And like we said at the start of this program, we definitely need to pray for America. The abortion pill has unrestricted access, thanks to the Supreme Court. And when the Supreme Court makes rulings like that, I always say the Supreme Court isn't. There's one higher judge whose judgments are true and righteous altogether that it must pass through.
All right.
Suppose one of those babies aborted is the one who God gave the gift of finding the cure for cancer or some other drug disease. Got one shot, folks. If you abort them, you don't get another shot.
Especially with that child. Oh, my. Oh, Mike?
I can barely hear you, my friend.
Oh, yes, I can. Because I am the blood of the four persons. I will end this with a song. Can you repeat that for me?
Yeah. He's in honor of the four persons. You're gonna end this program with a song.
Yes. And Mike, be ready for it tomorrow morning.
No, I don't.
Okay, here's the song.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mike. We'll see you in the morning.